the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up. But let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
Now you may be able to tame a bucking bronco or a wildcat, but you just can't tame a tongue. If your tongue is always getting you into trouble, saying things that shouldn't be said, here's something you can do.
Psalm 34, verse 13. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies.
Keep your tongue from evil, keep your tongue. Keep your tongue from evil, keep your tongue. And your lips from speaking lies. Keep your tongue from evil, keep your tongue.
Now grab hold of your tongue while we sing it again.
Keep your tongue from evil, keep your tongue. Keep your tongue from evil, keep your tongue. And your lips from speaking lies. Keep your tongue from evil, keep your tongue.
Can I let go of my tongue now?
I'm gonna sing, sing, sing. I'm gonna shout, shout, shout. I'm gonna sing, I'm gonna shout. Praise the Lord. When those gates are open wide, I'm gonna sit at Jesus' side. I'm gonna sing, I'm gonna shout. Praise the Lord.
Swing those sweet chariot, come forth and carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming forth to carry me home.
Oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in, Lord, I want to be in that number. Oh, when the saints go marching in.
This train is bound for glory, this train. This train is bound for glory, this train. This train is bound for glory, those who ride well must be holy. This train is bound for glory, this train.
I'm gonna sing,
it's bound for glory,
I'm gonna shout.
I'm gonna sing,
this train is bound
for glory, this train.
When those gates are open,
I just love singing praises to Jesus. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
This meeting will come to order. His Highness Chief Priest Caiaphas has asked me to give a full account of the reasons and purposes of this special meeting. In membership, we are composed of different groups with different points of view. Some of our fine members hold that the nation of Israel should obey without question the Roman edicts. Many of our members are Pharisees. Others are Sadducees. Long have these groups been at odds. Long has hate been exchanged between them. But for the purpose for which this meeting has been called, it is hoped that past differences and hatred will be forgotten. Our purpose? To do away with Jesus! Quiet, quiet, please. Now, august members of the Sanhedrin, your chairman, His Highness, Chief Priest Caiaphas!
Members, the time is short. The people are ready and anxious to crown the man from Nazareth as King of Israel. Jesus himself is ready and waiting. He rode into Jerusalem as all Israelite kings have ridden to their coronations. He stands in the temple as its guardian. Already the people obey him, not us. He must be put to death. Yeah! We will lay a trap for him, a double-jawed trap from which there is no escaping.
We have laid traps before, Your Highness. Always he has made his escape.
From this trap there will be no escaping. In the past, we have been rather foolish. We've sent older Pharisee spies, men whom Jesus knows best sight. This time we will send young men, men of vitality and vigor, men whom Jesus does not know and who are well able to make him think that they are sincere. Yes! Refrain from this outburst of applause. Time is short. We must hasten with our plans. We have a plan which is simplicity itself. First, one of the young Herodians will question Jesus thusly. Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest the way of God truly. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no? And Jesus will answer one way or the other.
But what if he doesn't?
He will. If his answer is that it's unlawful to pay tribute to Caesar, we'll report him to the Roman authorities and he'll be arrested for inciting rebellion. Perchance he says it is lawful. Then we will discredit him with the people as opposing the law of God. There will be several Herodians to testify in Jesus' trial.
Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly. Neither acceptest thou any person, but teachest the way of God truly. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar, or no?
Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Bring unto me a piece of money.
Here you are, Lord, a Roman coin.
Whose image and superscription is this on the coin?
Why, Caesar's.
Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's.
There just was no answer to his remarks, Your Highness.
Yes, I understand. He's much wiser than we thought. This means we must now put into effect plan number two.
We are Sadducees, and would that thou answer a question, Master. Moses said, if a man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were seven brothers, and the first, when he had married a wife, died, and having no children, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third, and so on down to the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven?
Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that God is not the God of the dead, but of the living?
So, Jesus put the Sadducees to shame. We will yet provoke him to speak that which can be used against him. If I can persuade a certain lawyer, a very wise and prudent man, to question Jesus on the importance of the commandments.
Master, which commandment is the greatest of all?
Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, for it flows out of it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.
Thou art not far from the kingdom of God.
And no
man was able to answer him a word. Neither durst any man from that day forth ask any more questions.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to add these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Well, I'm just making sure I get enough vitamin D.
Vitamin D? We're at a swimming pool, not a drugstore.
I know that. But do you see that big thing up there in the sky?
You mean the hawk?
No, the big bright thing there above the trees.
Nothing up there but the sun.
Exactly.
So what's the sun got to do with vitamin D?
Everything. When the sunshine hits my skin, my body takes those beautiful rays and turns them into vitamin D.
And that's a good thing?
Absolutely. Vitamin D helps my body fight disease and reduces the pain of sore muscles and stiff joints.
You sound like a TV advertisement.
Well, somebody needs to advertise a good thing about sunlight. Most people are afraid of it. They smear sunblock all over their bodies, stay indoors, and treat sunshine like it was poison.
Hey, I don't want to burn.
Scientists say we need to all enjoy up to 30 minutes of direct sunlight each and every day. That will safely provide us with all the vitamin D we need to give our skin a nice, healthy glow.
But what about in the winter when this pool's an ice skating rink?
Then you go to the drugstore and buy some vitamin D pills. But the best way to stay healthy is to sit in the summer sun.
Well, then count me in. I'm going to plop down right here beside you and work on my healthy glow. Are you happy now?
Well, not really.
Why?
You're blocking my sun.
Oh, sorry.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Magic show. It turned to a snake and it crawled around, but the Pharaoh still told him no, no, no. Moses led his people through the parted Red Sea. Moses led his people through the parted Red Sea. Moses led his people through the parted Red Sea. Moses went down to the river Nile and put a stick into the river a while. Now blood would flow where the water used to go, but the Pharaoh still told him no, no, no. Moses led his people through the parted Red Sea. Moses led his people through the parted Red Sea. Moses led his people through the parted Red Sea. God sent frogs and bugs and boils and hail from out of the sky. But the Pharaoh says, no, you still can't go. So the firstborn children had to die. Moses led his people through the parted Red Sea. Moses led his people through the parted Red Sea. Moses led his people through the parted Red Sea. For me, Moses led his people out of slavery and marched right through the sea. The Pharaoh sent his army right after the slaves, but his army ended up under the waves. Glug, 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 glug. Moses led his people through the parted Red Sea. Moses led his people through the parted Red Sea. Moses led his people through the parted Red Sea. Won't you open for me? Won't you open for me?
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Philippians 4:13. Philippians 4:13. Philippians 4:13. Philippians 4:13.
Time is hard to find. This Bible spelling history, our heads just want to pop.
Philippians 4:13, Philippians 4:13.
Hurried to feed the chickens and gather the eggs. He was just starting for the house with the egg basket when he saw Harry, who was to spend the evening, ride up the gravel road on his bike. Harry's folks had gone to the city and wouldn't be back until late. He had gone home first after school to change his clothes. Quentin took the eggs in and got back outdoors in time to meet his friend in the driveway. "Hi," he called. "I got changed quicker than you did. I've already tended the chickens." "I had a half mile farther to ride than you did," Harry retorted, "and then I had to ride back. What shall we play?" "Let's go up in the haymow. We can swing on a rope and walk across the tie beams." "Okay, race you there," Harry said, and began running before the words were out of his mouth. "No fair, you took a head start," Quentin shouted, but Harry was already through the big doors and going up the ladder to the piles of hay above. The big mow was a wonderful place to play. In one end were stacked bales of hay, but the other end held straw in one section and loose hay in the next. The boys could scamper across the heavy timbers above the loose hay and not worry about falling, for if they fell, they would land in the soft hay below. Dad had tied a rope securely to one of the supporting timbers, and the boys could swing out from the piled hay far over the straw pile and back to the hay again. The only thing they had to watch out for was the hay chute at one side where Dad threw down bedding and food for the animals each night and morning. But Quentin never played along that side anyway. Now he and Harry began swinging on the rope and jumping and sliding in the hay. They shouted back and forth and tried to see who could walk the beam the fastest without falling off. When Quentin was coming across the tie beam, holding his hands out on either side to balance himself, Harry called, "Come on down here a minute. I want to show you something." "What is it?" "Well, come here and I'll show you." Quentin jumped from the beam and flopped into the sweet-smelling hay beside Harry. Harry unzipped his jacket and from his shirt pocket he took a crumpled red package. "Cigarettes," said Quentin. "Where'd you get those?" "From Ben Williams. He gave me only two." "What are you going to do with them?" "Oh, I don't know. Did you ever try smoking?" "No," said Quentin, "I never did." The boys sat in the hay looking at the cigarettes and talking about smoking. "I suppose we might as well try it once," Quentin said after a while. "Do you have any matches?" Harry reached into another pocket and pulled out a shabby matchbook. "I have enough to get these two lighted," he said. "Well, that's all we need," Quentin laughed nervously. Harry tried to appear calm, but Quentin noticed his hand trembled as he struck the match. Quentin drew in on his cigarette and got a mouthful of smoke. The awful taste surprised him and made him cough. It surely wasn't a good taste. "Whew! I wonder why anybody wants to smoke," he said. "I thought the smoke would at least taste good." Harry puffed a few puffs and then shut his mouth and let the smoke come out of his nose. "See if you can do that," he said. Quentin tried and tried, but he couldn't do it. He coughed and sputtered every time he tried. He didn't know whether it was the smoke or the excitement of doing something he shouldn't that was making him feel funny, but his head began to feel light and his stomach churned. Then they heard the sound of the hay chute door being lifted from below. The boys froze where they sat, and Quentin automatically shoved his cigarette out of sight under the hay. "Quentin! Harry! Supper's ready!" There was a pause, and then, "Quentin?" The hay chute door banged down again. "Say, that was close," Quentin whispered. "We'd better give Dad a minute to get to the house before we go in so he won't see where we come in from. Do you think they'll smell it on us?" "Hey!" Harry jumped up. "The hay! It's burning!" Quentin turned, and there, just behind him, the hay was giving a black smudge of smoke. "That cigarette," Quentin said. "I put it into the hay without thinking." He ripped off his jacket and began to beat furiously at the smoke, but a tiny flame began licking at the hay. Harry began to beat, too. "Get some water," he puffed. "I think we've got it out, but we'll have to water it to be sure." Quentin's legs felt as if they would hardly carry him, but he made them run to the milk house. He dipped a pail of water from the cooling tank and dashed back to the mow with it. He and Harry watered down the hay. There was a strong smell of scorched grass. Then they heard Dad at the big hay mow door. "Quentin, are you there?" "Here we come, Dad." "Say, do I smell smoke?" The boys stumbled toward the ladder as Dad scrambled up. In a moment, he saw what had happened, and the boys blurted out the whole story. "This is mighty dangerous business, boys," Dad said. "You could have destroyed all the buildings on the farm just by smoking in the hay. You'll have to have a punishment, son, and Harry, I'll have to tell your folks." "I wish I'd never taken Ben's old cigarettes," Harry said. "They taste nasty and make me feel strange." "I know one thing," Quentin said. "I'm not ever going to try them again."
The story you've heard today was first published as part of the Vacation Bible School program in the book God's World by the Review and Herald Publishing Association and the General Conference Sabbath School Department. If you are interested in any other products published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.